Welcome to the program, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, with Father Kanis Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello again, my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. As you know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit with his seven gifts, the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, courage, piety, and fear of the Lord. We closed out the last conference, the last talk, the last segment, on the gift of piety by talking about filial piety. The love of a son for his mother. I spoke about the love I had for my own physical mother and the love I have for the church. And yet, as St. Francis said, when his father was very angry at him, he said, "I have no father but my Father in heaven." And so what we'd like to talk about now is another aspect of this gift of piety. To pray to God the Father the way he wants us to pray to him. Now, you've heard it, and I've heard it. There's many people who say, "I don't have to be part of any official worship. I can pray better in the car. I can pray better at the beach. I can pray better listening to good music. I can pray better all by myself." That's all very true. I can pray very nicely in the car. I love to drive alone, and I pray. Having been in the South Pacific for so many years, I enjoy sitting at the seaside and praying. But those are my prayers. And those are your individual prayers. Whereas liturgy has to do with public worship of the Father. Excuse me. The one thing that you and I have to realize is that liturgy encompasses the entire community. It isn't an individual act. And before I get into who is the priest involved in this liturgy, I'd like to explain one thing. In recent years, there's been a lot of confusion, especially in the Catholic Church, regarding all the changes. Well, the reason there is confusion, and the reason there's anger, and the reason there's withdrawal, is because there is ignorance of what liturgy really means. And some people say, "Well, wouldn't it be nice if it was like the old times, before Vatican Council II? You have to understand whether you use the Baltimore Catechism, the simple question and answer, or the documents of Vatican II, liturgy hasn't changed. For example, in Baltimore Catechism, the question is, what is liturgy? Liturgy is public worship of God. Give me examples of public worship. The Mass and the sacraments. Documents of Vatican II, nothing has changed. But the strange thing, that even before Vatican II Council in 1962 to 65, and after, the stress in the meaning of the word liturgy has been only focused on the Eucharist. There's a lot more to liturgy than just the Eucharist. Granted, the sacrament of the Eucharist, the Mass, is the central, the focal point of all our worship. But there's a lot more besides. And so what I'd like to do is to explain a little bit about how liturgy really touches the lives of everybody. And why does it? Remember I said, Christ is the only priest? I'm quoting from St. Paul. There is only one priest. His name is Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the one who enters the Holy of Holies. Christ is the one who offers the sacrifice of himself, the victim, to the Father. And all worship is directed to the Father in, with, and through Christ. No matter what we're involved in, we can never really become isolated from, separated from, cut off from Christ the priest. And when you're talking about Christ the priest, you're talking about Christ and the community and the church and the people. St. Paul says there is one Christ, there is one body, and that body is one. And the body is made up of all the members, many of them, scattered throughout the world. And so that even though one act of worship is being performed, say, on the island of Guam or Wake Island, all the members participate, consciously or unconsciously. They participate, they share in the act of worship spiritually. And that's why, long before Bell Telephone came up with the slogan, reach out and touch someone, Jesus Christ has been doing it since he came on this earth. Every time there's an action of liturgy, every time there's an act of worship, God is reaching out and touching the world. The merits, the strength, the grace of the Father coming through the Son to all the members by the power of the Holy Spirit touches all the members, whether they're conscious of it or not. And that is one of the things I think is so marvelous about this oneness in Christ. It's the miracle and the mystery of our faith, is that even though I'm here in Birmingham in the Eternal Word television studios, if I'm a good priest here, I reach out and touch your life. And every time you're involved in worship wherever you are, even though you don't know me physically, in Christ, the miracle and the mystery is happening. You're touching my life. I'm a better priest precisely because you participate in liturgy and in worship. And so, before Vatican II, after Vatican II, liturgy has not changed. The format has, yes. For example, if my mother changed her dress, it was a different dress, but the mother was the same. So too with liturgy. There are new ceremonies, there are new customs, but the essence of liturgy has not and never will change. It can't, because there's only one priest, and his name is Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. And because of our baptism, we share in that mediation. So, when I say a private prayer, that's Kenny's doing his thing, which is nice and it's good and it's very worthwhile. But when I join Jesus Christ in worshiping the Father, the value, the inherent value of that worship is so much greater because it's not being done all by myself. I'm doing it with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so liturgy not only encompasses the Eucharist, even though it's the primary source of worship, all the sacraments are part of the act of worship called liturgy. Baptism is liturgy. We don't think of it that way because all we've done in our life has been you're baptized, original sin's taken away, you become a child of God. We've forgotten to really point out that when a child is baptized, becomes a child of God, the Father is worshipped in that action of Christ. Everything that's done in liturgy and worship is done in, with, and through Christ. You cannot separate Christ from baptism. You cannot separate Christ from confirmation, even though we speak of receiving the Holy Spirit in a special way. You cannot separate Christ from the sacrament of reconciliation. How many of you have heard about Catholics receiving the sacrament of confession? I would have to say that maybe 9 out of 10 people think that confession is like an eraser. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. These are my sins. Come down with a list of catalog. You got your penance and you walk out. That's a mistaken idea of what penance is. And this is before Vatican II and after Vatican II. The sacrament of reconciliation is also liturgy. It's worship of the Father. How is it worship of the Father? Simply this. I confess my sins, but it's in Christ, and it's with Christ, and it's through Christ. And it's offered to the Father, and forgiveness comes from the Father through the mediator, Jesus Christ, to me. It's an act of worship. You know, there was a movie some years ago called Love Story. And one of the posters that came out of that movie was, love means never having to say I'm sorry. You know, I sometimes think it's the other way around. One of the nicest ways I can show my Father in heaven that I love him is to go in Christ with the sacrament of reconciliation and say, I'm sorry. It's another form of worship. It's another form of love. It's another kind of hugging. And when he gives me forgiveness, it's another kind of hugging that he gives me. And so, baptism is worship. How is it worship? Even if I'm asleep, God never sleeps. And Christ is always worshiping the Father. And the Bible tells us beautifully about the Holy Spirit, this person we've been talking about for the last number of days. The Holy Spirit, with unutterable groanings, worships and calls on Abba, Father, in our name. So even if I'm not conscious of what the Holy Spirit is doing now, I should be aware of, as much as I possibly can, that the Holy Spirit is worshiping the Father in my name, in, with, and through Christ the priest. So we've got the mediator. We have everyone involved. And we have the Eucharist. And we have the sacraments. Baptism is liturgy. It's worship of the Father. In, with, and through Christ. I know I'm repeating it often, but I don't want you ever to forget that you're cut off from him, that it's in him and through him and with him that we worship the Father, and the love of the Father comes to us. The grace of being called a child of God comes from the Father in, with, and through Christ, his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Penance, the reconciliation, is worship. The anointing of the sick is worship. And that's why it's not a private affair. It's not just one person being anointed with oil. It's not just one person being prayed over. It's the community in, with, and through Christ praying for and anointing that person. Liturgy also includes the sacrament of marriage. Marriage isn't just two people getting married in a church, a priest saying prayers over them, or a minister. It's an act of worship where two people say they love each other in, with, and through Christ, and their love for each other is an act of worship to the Father. And the Father sends back his love to these two wonderful people. It's not just a state. It is an action that should be going on every day, and an awareness that should be going on every day, that marriage is worship. And when two married people realize that, then they know one very simple fact, that whatever they do with and for each other, even though it's human, because of the sacrament, it's an act of worship. And that's why marriage is so beautiful. Think about these things for a moment. And remember that you are in Christ. As we take a break for the eternal word. Continue on. With all the sacraments being acts of worship, so is the ordination of a priest. That ordination doesn't make me separate from the family of God, doesn't make me separate from Christ, doesn't make me above them, doesn't put me on a level. It puts me within the context of liturgy, in the position of showing greater worship to the Father. I have the responsibility as a sharer in the priesthood of Christ of bringing more of Christ to people. I'm his instrument. Someone once said, you're like a pencil that God picks up and writes with for a while, And when he's finished, he puts the pencil down and picks up another and continues to write. All the sacraments are acts of worship of the Father. These are the official ones that we take from the Bible, that Christ instituted to be means, to be ways in which men and women around the world could worship the Father. The incidental ceremonies that surround these sacraments, the dress can change a little bit, but the essence of every sacrament has not changed. But the point I really want to make here, I can't be as thorough as I'd like to be, is that all the sacraments are worship. And so even if you're on a sickbed and you can't go to any kind of a church, you can't say any kind of a prayer, you are sharing in the worship of the Father precisely because you are one in Christ. That's the mystery and that's the miracle of the church. So never feel you're isolated from or you're separated from the action of Christ the priest. And liturgy is the highest form of worship that we Christians can get involved in. Not only does it worship the Father, it gives us the strength to continue to be the kind of men and the kind of women we really want to be. There's another aspect of liturgy that some of us forget. Nice generic phrase they use called sacramentals. These are the little things that people do that haven't got anything specifically to do with, quote, works of the Bible, but are like holy things from the Bible. Blessings, for example. The Bible is filled with blessings. That's not officially part of the action of the sacraments, but they're like holy things. And there's an interesting thing. If you're a father or you're a mother, when's the last time you blessed your child? No matter what your religion is, you know that people will go up to Father and say, "Would you bless me, Father? Would you bless the child? Would you bless this medal?" You've got to realize one thing. It is not the blessing of Father. It's the blessing of God who's using this pencil, who's using this person. The blessing is God's blessing. But you as a parent, because of your marriage, because of the sacrament, because you're part of the worship of the Father, you bless your children. On Guam, it's a common thing. And somewhere in this wonderful country of America, it's been forgotten. We call that a sacramental. Ashes on Ash Wednesday are sacramentals. Some people say, "Why do you say the rosary? It's not part of worship." But it is part of a person's prayer life. And it becomes a sacramental because it raises a person's mind and heart to God and the great mystery of the incarnation, the great mystery of the redemption. If the rosary is said right, it becomes a vehicle of union with the Son. And so all the sacramentals are acts of worship in, with, and through Christ, never separated from. Three other areas. One, priests have to say a certain prayer. They have the responsibility in the church and in Christ to pray for the world outside of the sacrament of holy orders, not the prayer of divine office. And there's another aspect of worship of the Father. Artists, with their talent, with the way they portray mysteries of the church and mysteries of the faith. So sacred art is part of liturgy. Sacred music is part of liturgy. And so while I can talk, others can perform magnificent pieces of music, and that's part of liturgy. And the whole part of the Vatican II document on liturgy was this. People have taken so many things for granted. And the only reason I'm talking about this document now is this. There's been too much ignorance about what liturgy really is, how it's part and parcel of our daily lives, how it makes up the fabric of our existence. I want to wipe out ignorance. Because if we wipe out the ignorance of what liturgy really is, you'll wipe away confusion, you'll wipe away anger, you'll wipe away withdrawal. If people really know how they fit into the program, oh, then there will be worship in, with, and through Christ, and there will be unity the way Christ prayed for it. We're going to be showing some overlays done by this magnificent nun, Sister Carol Ann, a Bernadine from Stamford, Connecticut, who is also assistant coach of the New York Football Giants and who is a personal friend of Coach Perkins of Alabama. This magnificent nun took the 6 chapters of the document on liturgy and she came up with a basic symbol that fits each chapter. And the very first chapter has to do with, of course, Jesus Christ, the priest, the mediator between God and man. And so the stress in liturgy is on Christ. And if only you and I keep that in the forefront of our minds, we'll never lose our perspective about worship. And then the second chapter has to do with the church. Now, that's a building, and we said the church is not a building. But we had to find some kind of a symbol that we all are familiar with. The church is people. The church is you and me and all the other millions of baptized individuals. We are one in Christ. But we use the symbol to explain this diversity and this unity. The third chapter has to do with what everybody knows is the primary sacrament, the central sacrament, the sacrament of sacrifice, the sacrament of Eucharist, where the body and blood of Christ become present on our altars under the appearance of bread and wine. This was the repetition of the Last Supper, and it's become the central part of worship. But as I said, there are more than just that one sacrament of liturgy. You see what she put in the windows? Symbols of all the other sacraments. Like, for example, marriage, the rings and the cross, the stole for the priesthood, baptism, the center of the church, the center of our entrance into the rebirth, the keys for remission of sins and the worship of the Father by forgiveness, and especially the Holy Spirit at the center of the church, the source of activity. Now, besides this, there is an area of prayer that is public worship, and that is the divine office. Not too clearly seen here, but it's at the base of the church. And the officials of the church have the responsibility to pray every day outside of the specific sacraments for everybody in the church. For everybody in the world, this is what is called the divine office. Now, besides the divine office, besides the sacraments, there are areas of worship of the Father in, with, and through Christ that are not specific sacraments, and they're called sacramentals. Like, for example, the artists, the music, sacred art. For a lot of people, the blessed holy water. The cross is a symbol of blessings, which are sacramentals. The rosary is a sacramental. Some like one against the other, but all sacramentals are merely an expression of an individual human approach to God. The sacramentals do not have to be used, but they're part of our worship. Now, what you see here is all put together in one magnificent collation. And the whole purpose of these overlays is this. There is diversity in worship, but there is unity in worship only when Christ is the mediator. We must never forget that. And we must always remember that liturgy is the highest form of worship that we can offer the Father. Christ is the priest. And for you and for me, there must be a zeal for the liturgy. And zeal for the liturgy, in all its varied aspects, in all the variegated forms that it takes, that includes the sacraments, all the sacraments, the sacramentals, the divine office. Zeal for the liturgy is a sign that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and that He's active in the church. So What I'm really saying is, let's try to know more about what liturgy is. It isn't just, I gotta go to Mass, I gotta go to church, I get baptized because it's what everybody has done before, I get married in church because that's what everybody has done before, I go to confession or I receive the sacrament reconciliation because that's the thing to do. No way! All the sacraments are actions of Christ. That's what we have to try to make a little bit more real in our lives. Make it more human, but at the same time make it more divine. And once we realize, because of our baptism, that we share in the priesthood of Christ, then we will know that worshiping God the Father isn't a burden. It's a privilege. And when people tell me, well, I don't go to church because I can pray better somebody else, you know what I say to them? Look, friend, you don't go to church to get a thing. You go to worship to give God something. Remember that. You don't worship to get. Worship is our opportunity, our privilege as humans, to give God something with no strings attached. I think that's a privilege and an honor.